are in the midst of a study, kind of in the middle. We're on the Red Sea Rules. There's a little book called the Red Sea Rules, and it's 10 rules to help us handle the struggles and trials in our life. How many of you have had struggles and trials in your life? Okay, so we all have. We all do. And some of them more severe than others. And so these are some biblical principles that we've been going through that can help us during these times. What do we do? Have a word of prayer first together. Father, thank you so much for this day. It's a joy, Lord, this Lord's Day to be in your house with your people. And I pray for this Sunday school time, not only for us adults, but each Sunday school class, Lord, that you'd bless us and keep us, Lord, close to thee. Help us, Lord, to learn much from your word today. But Lord, we just don't want to learn for the sake of learning. We just don't want to be a hearer of your word. But Lord, we want to be doers of your word. So help us, Lord, to find application to our life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. So, turn with me to Exodus 14. I'm going to read 1 through 14, but the last two verses are going to be the text for today. I just want to review a little bit before we get started. Exodus 14, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp in Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and the Egyptians, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. They did so. And it was told the king of Egypt. The people fled. And the hearts of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? He made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea before Pihahiroth and Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your. So here we see Israel just delivered from Egypt. And God directs them to the Red Sea, to those two towns, difficult to say. Aren't you glad we have towns around here like Hill and Franklin and Bristol? Okay? But they're at the seaside, and they're enjoying their newfound freedom at the seaside. And of course we know, as we have been seeing, here comes Egypt. They're trapped between the enemy and the sea. And if we will recall where we have been so far, Red Sea rule number one is realize that God means for you to be where you are. Okay? Who told Israel to encamp where they were? God told them. Okay? So God told them to go right to the direct spot where they were, where they would then be sitting ducks for the enemy. Okay? So God told them to go there. So we must remember, as God's children, Red Sea rule number one, realize that God means for you to be where you are. Number two, okay? Be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. Okay? Be more concerned for God's glory than your relief. You know, a lot of times when we get into a trial, the first thing we want is to get out of the trial. And but we need to realize that God can be glorified in the midst of our trial. Rule number three, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. And we all know we have an enemy. We have the enemy of our soul, the devil, and the world, the flesh, and the devil are enemies. We realize we have to keep an eye on him, but we have to acknowledge him, but we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. Because a lot of times, what do we look at? The enemy. Think about that. Just think about Israel for a moment there. There they were enjoying their, national francs there at the beach, and they're having a nice time just enjoying their newfound freedom and roasting marshmallows and making s'mores and having a good time. And here comes the enemy, and they're no longer thinking about their freedom. Their eye is on their enemy. Then we saw rule number four last week, very short, but pray. Okay? Pray. Don't forget to pray. And then today, rule number five, there's today's rule. Stay calm and confident and give God time to work. Stay calm and confident and give God time to work. J. Hudson Taylor said, I'm waiting on thee, Lord, to open the way. And a lot of times, here was Israel. Here they were on the shore with a sea behind them and an enemy in front of them. And we need to give God sometimes time to work. Okay? Not that God needs, not that God needs the time, but we need time. Calm down and to trust and to wait on the Lord. How many times in the Bible, there'd be a good study, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. Matthew Henry said of this passage, he said, in times of great difficulty and great expectation, it is our wisdom to keep our spirits calm, quiet, and sedate. For then we are in the best frame both to do our own work and to consider the work of God. Do you know some people that you would not want around in a crisis time? You know some people like that? They kind of run around like the proverbial chicken with his head chopped off. I love my mother dearly. Mom, when you watch this, I love you. But my mom is not the kind of person to have around in a crisis time. We were at the house once, and my mother's husband was choking on food, and he couldn't breathe. So I got up, and I started performing the Heimlich on him, and I told Mom, call 911. Promptly called 411. 411 is information. So they're trying to say, yes, can I help you? We need an ambulance, and all, and she was too, thankfully, food came unlodged. But had a good laugh afterward, too. But, there are some people that you just don't want to, and sometimes, maybe that's you, maybe that's me, when trials come, we're not calm, and we get agitated. In Romans 12:19, just as a way of introduction, in Romans 12:19, Paul says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather," now this little phrase here, "but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now that phrase, "give place unto," carries the meaning of give room for. So the immediate context of Romans 12 is retribution. When we are wronged by someone, Paul says we shouldn't try to get even, but we should give place unto or give room for God's wrath. There are times we need to let God settle the score. Friends, if we're told to allow room for God's wrath, can we also leave room for God's other attributes to work when we face challenges? You know, like when give room for, give place for, allow God to work. Allow God to work in some of the people's lives that may be also causing you this trauma and tribulation. You know, and allow God to work in our lives. You know, what about his power? God is going to display his power here. And, you know, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Sometimes we just have to give God room to work. So notice in our text, verses 13 and 14 of Exodus 14, one of the things we need to do is wait. How many of you are good at waiting? Patient people here, anybody? One. Okay, good. That's good. I am not a patient person. Isn't it interesting that patients wait in waiting rooms when they go to see the doctor or the dentist? And we can't solve, we need to wait. Number one, we need to realize we cannot solve every problem. Every problem that comes our way, we can't solve it. We like to, but we can't solve every problem. We can't solve other people's problems. You know, we can't cure every ill. We can't avoid every fear. But we can give room for God to work. We can wait. We can allow him to solve the problem. We can allow him to cure the ill. We can allow him to help us with our fears. You know, friends, I wish I did, but we don't have an answer for every dilemma. You know, people, sometimes I counsel people and they come into the office and you know, I wish I had that magic wand that could just make all your problems go away. But I don't. So but there is somebody who can if we give him time to work. God can. You know, a lot of times it takes a while to get into that problem, doesn't it? And so it might take a while to get out of that problem. Want instant gratification. Gratification. This morning, for you Southern folks out of here, I cooked my grits this morning. 20 minutes. Okay, I didn't have instant grits. Have any of you Southern folks eat grits? Couple of you? Okay. I love grits anyway. So. Anyway, why did I talk about that? Oh, instant. We want instant gratification, you know. And instant doesn't always work, you know. Sometimes we need to wait. And we need to wait. And we need to wait on God. You know, we can't do the impossible. But who can do the impossible? God can. I mean, we know the end of the story. God's going to part the Red Sea. The children of Israel are going to walk across on dry land. And then he's going to drown the enemy in the Red Sea. We know the end. They didn't know that. But God can do and does do the impossible. And maybe some of the situations you have been in have seemed impossible. Give God time. Wait. Moses told the Israelites to not be afraid, to stand still, and to see the salvation which the Lord will work for you today. You know, this is what the biblical phrase, wait on the Lord, is about. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 7 and 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So here God is telling us to rest, to wait patiently. Fret not. Don't be afraid. No, this is, again, what that the Bible phrase, wait on the Lord, means. If you are in a difficult place right now, and if you're not in a difficult place right now, you will be one of these days. If you're in a difficult place right now, maybe you need to give your problem to the Lord and leave it in his hands for a while. He alone can part the waters. One of the problems that I have with my character is I'm a control freak. Any other control freaks here? Okay. I like to be and have control. That's why I hate flying, okay? Not that I'm necessarily afraid of flying, but I'm not in control. I go on that airplane, I have zero control. I don't like that. If you and I decide to go somewhere together, don't be offended if I ask to drive, because I don't like to be a passenger. So if we're both control freaks, we're going to have to maybe take separate vehicles. But you know, it's hard for me to let go. Let God take control. But you know, when I've done that, it has been so much better. Because what do I usually do? I can't solve problems. I think that I can. I could fix your car, you know, maybe, you know, but a little behind the eight ball, you know, quite a few years ago. But, you know, but I can't solve problems, but God can. When we let go of that control, and we give that control of God. I love what Moses says. First he says, fear not. Why do you think he says fear not? Because they were what? Afraid. Then I love this. Stand still. Why do you think he said stand still? They were probably running around all over the place. You know, like that chicken with its head cut off. You know? That really happens when you do that. Raise chickens for a while, and Dad had this cone on a tree, and the cone went down like this, and you put the chicken in, and out came his head, and now, anyway, and then he didn't run around the yard, you know, and but they do run around the yard when they don't have a head. It's I don't want to say it's funny, but you know, you'll think I'm cruel, but anyway, you know, God, think about this, fear ye not. We are told hundreds of times in the Bible to not be afraid. Hundreds of times. You know, we live in a world where there is a lot of things out there to be afraid of. You know, there's a lot of things out there to be afraid of. But God says, fear not. God wants his children's emotions under control. When we fear, what takes control? Fear. Okay? And then all kinds of things go through our mind, and all kinds of scenarios go through our mind. And fear and faith can't dwell together. Now, that does not mean there's never anything to fear. Okay? But if I am fearing, and that is the emotion that's taking over, my faith is not too strong. So I need to have faith, even in the sight of things that bring great fear. My faith is in the Lord. Fear not. Okay? We are emotional beings, and often our emotions are driven by compelling circumstances. Yet all of this is made worse when we give our emotions free rein. We allow fear to run freely. It just causes the situation to get worse. Careful of that. Maturity. Christian maturity and physical maturity can be described as the ability to keep one's passions under control. Children and teens struggle here, keeping their emotions and passions under control. Mature adults sometimes do. I think I told the story about one of our customers when I had the shop in New Jersey. His name was Milt Weiss. And he graduated high school, grew up in Brooklyn, New York. He graduated high school, and for his senior trip after boot camp, Uncle Sam sent him to Normandy. Landed on Omaha Beach for his first engagement. Said, talk about fear. Just something compelling him to just continue to go. Forward. Jewish man, he didn't have faith, but, think about that, how fear can cripple us. Often, it can have drastic consequences. Husbands as wives, we have children that are watching us. As spouses, we have the other spouse that's watching us. Fear not. Stand still and see. Stand still and see. Stand still. The phrase here means be stationary. Hold your ground. Don't run around. Stay calm. Sometimes when there's too much motion, we can miss what we are supposed to see. A lot of times God tells us to just be still, stand still, because there may be something he wants to show us, and if we're running around, we might miss it. So stand still. Sometimes, when we think of the word emotion, if you take the first letter off of the word emotion, what is the word? Motion, okay? Could the E stand for erratic? Or when we get fearful, there's lots of erratic motion. We're running around all over the place. When our emotions are out of control, we are in a state of erratic motion. God wants us to be still and quiet. You ever see people who pace? Like something happened and they just pace. Maybe you're that person. Pace back and forth, back and forth. Back and forth. And still. Give it to God. I love this phrase. The Lord shall fight for you. Great? The Lord's going to fight for you. What could Israel do against their enemy? Nothing. How could Israel possibly cross the Red Sea without any boats? All those people and all that stuff and all the animals, nothing. The Lord's going to fight for you. We're to walk by faith, not by feeling. Sometimes we need to choose an attitude that is contrary to the way we feel. I'm afraid. I have to choose to have faith, not go by how I'm feeling. When I am outnumbered and the problem is just too big for me to handle, even though I'm a control freak and I want to handle it, I have to let the Lord fight my battle. Lord, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to stand still, and I'm going to keep my eyes open, and I'm going to watch. Often do that, but when we do, we can see God work. Look at Deuteronomy. Turn ahead a couple of books. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hadst seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place. So here Moses is rehearsing to the children of Israel how God fought for them, cared for them all along the way. You know, we read through the accounts, and a lot of times we say, oh, Israel, how can you be so afraid? God just delivered you. If we were in the book and it was written about us, what would the story be? Same story. Okay? Because how many times has God delivered us? Still forget that. Go to chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, verse 22. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. God's going to fight for us. Chapter 31, same book. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. A great verse. I mean, all the promises that are in there. God's not going to forget about us. Remember, who led them to the exact spot where they were? God. And that's the first, that I think is a very important thing for us whenever we find ourselves in any situation. If we are walking with the Lord, God has led us here. So he wants us to be here. And if he wants us to be here, he's going to deliver. So stand still. One more verse, 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17:47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. Of course, this is young David speaking to Goliath. So, you know, many times, friends, you and I, we can't solve our problems. We can't heal all the hurts that we have and others have. We can't change circumstances. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, if I could only go back. But you know what? You can't go back. So we can't change circumstances, and we can't win our own battles. We must kneel in prayer, then stand to see what the Lord will do. We must leave room for God, staying calm. times does the Bible tell us to add to our faith what? Patience. Sometimes God makes us. The way to learn patience is by waiting or having children. Okay? So, you know, but but you know, seriously, the way to learn to have patience is wait on God. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He said, "I don't care what the circumstances may be. The Christians should never be agitated. The Christian should never be beside himself. The Christian should never be at wit's end, should never be on a condition in which he has lost. It implies a lack of trust and confidence in him." Strong words. True words. Who is our confidence in? If our confidence is in ourselves and in our flesh, we're going to fail. If our confidence is in God, he will deliver. He will do what's right. P.H. McIntosh said, "Faith raises the soul above the difficulty, straight to God himself, and enables one to stand still. We gain nothing by our restless and anxious efforts. It is therefore true wisdom in all times of difficulty and perplexity to stand still, to wait up only upon God, and he will assuredly open a way for us." How many things, how many miraculous things have we missed because we haven't been still? Try to get ourselves out of the situation, and sometimes we find ourselves in even a bigger mess. To wait on God. Let's see rule number one. Realize that God means for you to be where you are. I think that's really important for us to remember. Sometimes, you know, when we go through these principle things, that first principle kind of sets the tone. In our RU program, you know, what's the first principle? If God is against it, so am I. You know, so that should help us in our struggles with whatever stronghold we have. If God's against this, I should be against it. So if we're thinking about these Red Sea rules, these principles, if we're thinking about, you know, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, realize that God means us to be right where we are. Number two, be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. That's difficult. But whatever we do, we need to do what? For the glory of God. Know that we were praying a long time for Joel, right? When Joel was going through his serious case of COVID, struggling and fighting against it in a third world country and not having quite the, but what was Joel doing through so much of that time? Singing, praising God, handing out tracts, Bibles, and candy. And when he could no longer sing, Rich, I think the nurses sang to him, right, when he could no longer sing. He had a testimony. And he wanted the glory of God to be seen through all of this. Be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. Number three, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Pray. Simple. And today, stay calm and confident. Give God time to work. Calm and confident. Give God time to work. And next week, we'll see when you're unsure, just take the next logical step by faith. faith may need to be stepping. Just take that next logical step by faith. Sometimes fear cripples us. Sometimes fear makes us run around, and then other people just panic and freeze. Some people faint. I don't know if you're that type of person, you know, but that next logical step by faith. So, it's again, it's wonderful. We know the end of the story. But you know something? By faith, we should know the end of our story too, right? God will deliver us. Love the Psalms. So many Psalms start with trouble. Lord, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. And the end of the Psalm, what is the psalmist doing? Praising God for deliverance. So really, friends, by faith, we know the end of the story. God's going to deliver us. Of the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace, what did they say to Nebuchadnezzar? God's going to deliver us. They know the deliverance would be that way? I don't know. Or another, they wouldn't have to put up with Nebuchadnezzar anymore. God always gets the victory. We're on the victory side. We're his children. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all the times we see how you have delivered your people over and over and over again. Lord, forgive us of our times of fear when we think that our problems are so big, or we think that, you know, no one has ever had it as bad as I have had. Lord, that's a lack of faith on our part. Help us to have faith. Help us, Lord, to please to stay calm and confident. Help us to give you time to work in our lives and in our situation. Thank you for this time. Bless these words to our heart. And please prepare us for the worship service to follow.